This is Marathon Training Academy, episode 269.
This podcast is brought to you by MetPro, a world-renowned concierge nutrition, fitness, and lifestyle coaching company. Using metabolic profiling, MetPro analyzes your metabolism and provides you with an individualized strategy to obtain your goals. Just visit metpro.co/MTA to get started today. Once again, that's metpro.co, that's .co/MTA. To get started.
This episode is sponsored by Action Heat. Action Heat makes the world's best heated clothing, like heated jackets, socks, gloves, hats, and more. And it's all powered by a rechargeable battery, so you get heat on demand at the touch of a button. It's perfect for anyone on your holiday gift list, and you can save 20% off your order when you go to actionheat.com/MTA. That's actionheat.com/MTA.
Hello and welcome to the MTA podcast, where we empower you to run a marathon and change your life. I'm Trevor.
And I'm Angie.
In this episode, we talk about the importance of finding your why if you want to be a long-term runner, and what listeners shared with us about what motivates them. Plus, we give you a quick rundown of this year's MTA virtual half marathon. And in the quick tip segment, Angie answers a question about how to implement treadmill running into your training. And of course, you can learn how to unlock your marathon potential and learn about Academy membership when you visit marathontrainingacademy.com. So Angie, how was your workout today?
Well, it was a bit rushed, but I managed to get 4 miles done on the treadmill and a 20-minute core workout. So I got it done, but felt like I could have gone longer if I had more time.
Very good. Of course, I haven't done mine yet because I can be such an exercise procrastinator, but...
Well, you seem to have more of your higher energy levels in the afternoon and evening, unlike me. So, yeah. You know, it's what works for you. You usually get your workouts in, so...
Well, I love how I feel after I do it. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to getting on the treadmill today. I just have no motivation to go run outside, you know, or to even be outside. Why do we live in such a cold place?
I like the cold weather, even though... I do a fair amount of my training on the treadmill during the winter. And of course, that's something we'll talk about a little bit later in the quick tip.
Yeah, we've got a lot to talk about today. So excited. We've gathered some wisdom from the running community and a little psychology too here and there to share with you guys about how to unlock your motivation as a long distance runner, even during those tough months of the year where it's too hot or too cold or too whatever. So looking forward to getting into that. Before we do, we have a couple shout outs to give. So Angie, what do you got for us?
Yeah, we'd like to say congrats to Forrest, who finished his first marathon at the St. June's Marathon. Also, congratulations to Stephen, who ran the California International Marathon, and he broke 5 hours, and this was his fourth marathon. So that was an exciting barrier. Also, congratulations to Elliot, who finished California International Marathon in 3 hours and 39 minutes for a 3-minute PR. And Tom posted in the group, he said, "Thanks, Trevor, Angie, Coach Steven, and my wife and kids. It took a couple of tries, but I made sub 3 hours after age 40. I couldn't be happier." And he also ran CIM, or California International Marathon.
That is amazing.
And this note is from Katie. She also ran the CIM. She says, "You guys, I did it. My first marathon, and I was so lucky to have my amazing family at the finish. I overcame a lot through training, as we all do. I had several colds, neurovirus, plantar fasciitis, smoke from wildfires making me miss several runs, starting my period race morning, and of course, only getting 3 hours of sleep the night before the marathon. But the beauty of it all was proving to myself that I can keep pushing through setbacks and challenges."
Well said.
"This is something I will carry with me forever in my personal and professional life. I know a lot of us say this, but I couldn't and really wouldn't have wanted to do this without Angie and Trevor and you guys." And she's referring to our very supportive Academy group. "I was training for a half marathon when I stumbled across the podcast at the end of August. After hearing the great tips and inspirational stories from MTA land and Trevor telling me I have what it takes, I impulsively signed up for the marathon in my hometown. It was the best decision ever. Oh, and Sherry on the top, I finished in 3 hours and 56 minutes and beat 4 hours.
Wow, that is remarkable. Thank you for sharing that, Katie. So there you have it, folks. Don't give up. You can have a really crummy week going into the marathon. You can really have a crummy, you know, night's sleep before, and you can still have an epic performance out there.
That's right.
You know, it's actually a given. You're going to sleep bad before. the night before
just
marathon.
Just be surprised if you do sleep well the night before a race. That's what I always think. If I get any sleep tonight, it's all just a benefit.
I only sleep good if the marathon starts at like 11. So I know I have plenty of time, you know, to sleep in.
Right.
If it starts at like, you know, 7 in the morning, forget it.
Or like the Honolulu Marathon starts at 5 in the morning.
Yeah, that's right. I'll never do that one. Just kidding. That'd be harder than running the marathon for me.
Right. You need to start a marathon called the Night Owls Marathon.
Yeah, we did a night marathon one time. It was miserable.
What does that say about you?
Well, it was cold, and we just ran around a cemetery for like 4 laps.
But, I mean, it's a very memorable marathon.
It's true.
We have these awesome jackets that we wear to this day that we got from that race.
That's right.
So, I mean, how often do you get to do a race through a cemetery? So it was worth it.
You're right.
And this note comes from Emma. She says, "Hi, Angie and Trevor. I completed my very first marathon this weekend at the St. Jude Marathon in Memphis, Tennessee. I was very nervous because I was a little bit undertrained. A stubborn hamstring injury and a hectic nursing school schedule kept me from getting all the miles I needed. But I'm happy to say I really surprised myself and was able to finish in 3 hours and 41 minutes and even place 3rd in my age group.
Wow.
I really want to recommend the St. Jude race to the rest of the MTA community. It makes it extra special to run for such a great cause. Can't wait to start fundraising and training for next year. Thanks for all your tips and inspirational stories."
Wow, that is great. Congrats, Emma, on surprising yourself, as you say, and finishing with such a solid time and earning 3rd place. And you're right, St. Jude is a very special marathon. Angie, you did that, I think, is your 2nd marathon, right?
Yeah, that was the first time I broke 4 hours.
Get to run around Memphis.
Yep.
Then we went and slammed some barbecue afterwards on Beale Street. That's why I went. I like dropped you off at the starting line. I'm like, all right, I'm out of here. Where's the barbecue?
Pretty much.
Well, congrats to all of you out there taking action in your running and in your health. I'd like to say a special congrats to everyone who finished the MTA virtual half in the month of November. It was great to see the photos and hear the race reports and stuff. And I got a couple little factoids here for you guys. We had 375 participants from all over the world, including 46 U.S. states plus D.C. and Puerto Rico. We had runners from 7 Canadian provinces plus the Yukon. We had runners from 5 out of 6 Australian states. Didn't get Tasmania, but...
next year.
And also runners from the following countries: Mexico, the UK, Ireland, Denmark, Norway, Sweden, Germany, Poland, Austria, France, Thailand, India, South Korea, Hong Kong, Japan, and New Zealand.
Awesome.
I know, I love it. I always love to see where people are from. And of course, there's so many stories and photos, and if you want to see some of them, you can go to our website. We have collected some over there. All kinds of ways people were getting it done. We had folks that went out in groups. For example, there was a group of runners in Ohio, Kathleen, Sharon, Kenny, John, Kristen, and Dan that all got together and ran. We also had a group of runners from Queensland, Australia, get together and do this. So shout out to Amanda, Darrell, and Jeff. And then there was a group of runners in Michigan, Pastor John Major and a crew of 6 from Victory Life Church in Battle Creek, Michigan, went out and did it together. So that was really cool to see. And we had lots of spouses run together and people who had help from spouses. For example, here's Mikael and Solgerd from Norway. They ran the half together. It says, "It was a bit chilly and it got dark during the last 10K, but we had a great time." And they said, "Now, chocolate."
Sounds like people after my own heart.
There were, lots of couples that did it together. There were mothers and daughters and fathers and sons. Shout out to Eric Tritton from Ohio, who ran with his 14-year-old son, Josh. He said, "Josh and I ran our half this morning on the towpath starting in Peninsula, Ohio. It was cloudy and chilly, but the sun came out for a while." And he says, "Josh is pretty sure that breakfast after the run was the best part."
So true.
That's how my dad used to get me to do things as a kid. "You want to go do this? We'll take you out to eat afterwards." "Okay." Go get an Egg McMuffin.
You're still motivated by food, as are most runners.
Here's another one from Jensen from Sydney. He says, "I ran my virtual half marathon on my home treadmill in my garage. It was a steamy, hot 27 degrees Celsius or 81 Fahrenheit. I released the Kraken, especially in the final 2 miles, and managed to complete the half in a personal best of 92 minutes and 55 seconds. Really enjoyed the challenge of the virtual race." And speaking of running on the treadmill, here's one from Giselle from Norway. She says, "It's in the bag. I ran all 21K on the treadmill. Got almost kicked out because an indoor running class was about to start." She says, "I felt dizzy in the end, which I take as a sign that I probably didn't prepare as much as I should have. But the mind is a powerful thing, and it got me through it. I stopped a speed walk twice. It helps a lot. I have to say," this is something I never heard before, Angie. She says, "I'd have to say that the A in MTA could also stand for accountability."
Nice.
She says, "Thank you for being there with me, and even when I'm not on Facebook." And that's from Giselle. So that's pretty cool, you know, running at her local gym on the treadmill.
That's awesome.
Okay, here's another one. This is from Rochelle, Audrey, and Kim, who ran together inside their gym on a track. They did 108 laps on an indoor track. Rochelle says, "We released the Kraken. We ran indoors due to cold and snow, but we got our 108 laps completed together." I'm sure they felt like hamsters.
That's the true definition of friendship. Running in circles with your friends.
And then we had some people who did this as their very first half. So congrats to everyone that did that. For example, Mike Allen says, "I ran my half marathon as I had to cram it in before work at 3 a.m.
That's just when you're going to bed.
He says, "Definitely found things I need to work on. This was my first try at this distance. Not sure I would have done it without listening to your podcast. Thanks, guys, for giving me this opportunity to run 13.1 before I go the full distance in March. I'm planning on doing the Myrtle Beach Marathon with my family and will keep listening as I prepare."
Congratulations, Mike.
Yeah, that's great. And the Myrtle Beach Marathon's a lot of fun, too. We've done that one.
Yeah, definitely.
But, man, think about just the way that people are getting it done, you know, like running indoors on a treadmill, running, going through the cold, or getting up at 3 in the morning. So mad props to you guys. Angie and I did our virtual half as well. I did mine on the Appalachian Trail with my friend Jonathan Guyman, who lives down here. And when I got done, I thought to myself, and it was kind of a miserable day. It was kind of windy and cold. I thought to myself, there's no way I would have got out here and ran unless I was, you know, on the hook to do this this virtual half. So that's the beauty of...
It's all about accountability, yeah. Like Giselle said.
And I actually got mine done before you got yours done.
I know, a shocking turn of events. I waited till the very last day of November to do mine. It ended up being kind of a cold, windy day, but since I had procrastinated, I did it anyway and had a great time.
All right, so that's a quick look at the 2018 MTA Virtual Half. Of course, we will more than likely do it again next year if you want to jump in on the party. I'm already thinking right now, Angie, of what our medal will be. And it will be epic, of course.
Oh, of course.
We'll have a new medal design for 2019. It'll be hard to top this year's medal, though. It was pretty awesome. So in conjunction with the virtual half, you know, we had this active group of runners in a temporary Facebook group that we set up for it. And so people were sharing and stuff. And we threw a question out that we thought would be a good kind of question to dive deep in on the podcast. And the question I asked was, "We all know that running, especially in the winter, can be tough. So why do you do it? And what keeps you going?" So in this episode, we're going to dive into some of the answers that people gave, as well as some of our own thoughts on that topic of why and the importance of finding your why. So we'll go ahead and get into that right now. Well on my way, well on my way.
So when it comes to running, or of course any other important habit that you want to implement in your life, it's really important to find your why. In fact, finding that why is probably the most important thing you can do to create a sustainable running habit. So I know right now that we're probably talking to aspiring runners, brand new runners, people who are lifelong runners, and probably some of you are in the middle of all that. Maybe you're still a bit on the fence about this whole long distance running thing, but you know that it can be a key to making you healthier and happier. But there are just some days that you don't have the motivation to get out there, and some days you find yourself plodding along, maybe feeling really uninspired on your run. It's good to know that all of this is totally normal. Not everyone falls in love with running at their very first steps. In fact, there's many accomplished runners who had a really bumpy start with their running journey. Like we just interviewed Pete Kostelnik, who was on our last episode. He didn't always pump out 55 miles a day for weeks on end. In fact, after running his first marathon, he swore that he'd never do another one.
That's right.
One way to turn an it's complicated relationship with running into a full-blown commitment is to find your why. And I'm going to let you in on a little fact. Some whys are more sticky or more meaningful than others. When I first started running as a teenager, my whole motivation was to lose weight. And I'm sure that can resonate with many people in our audience. That began an on-again, off-again relationship with running that lasted for the next decade.
As soon as I would start feeling too fat or out of shape, I would jump back on the running bandwagon. And of course, I would feel miserable because anytime you have to start over with something like running, it's really tough. But really, it was just a means to an end for me.
So, Angie, you were a runner when I met you back in the year 2000. And I think you were the only runner that I knew at that point.
I think I was the only runner that I knew, too.
That's weird. So your parents didn't do it, or your friends, you just went out there on your own and ran.
I did. Well, I actually had a friend in high school who we'd both kind of get on a running kick at the same time. And the funny thing is, there was a lot of hills in my hometown. And for some reason, we chose to run like the most challenging hill in town. Hmm. So we'd be like out of shape and like sweating, like running this huge hill, like, oh, this is miserable, but it's going to make us skinny.
So you thought the harder, the better.
Exactly. Yeah. It was like, if we're going to do this, it has to, you know, be brutal.
Yeah. That's a common mistake, you know, that new runners think every run has to be at like max heart rate, you know.
And of course, when you're a teenager, you're really concerned about what people are thinking of you. So you wouldn't stop and walk if, you know, your heart rate's getting too high or you're really uncomfortable because like someone's driving by and they might see you stop to walk. And there's like this whole, you know, mental dialogue going on in your brain.
So then you just start running when the cars come by, right?
Right, exactly. So, you know, fast forward to when I was 27, I began running again. And this time my weight had really nothing or very little to do with it. I was looking for a change in my life. I was seeking something that I could do for myself to make myself healthier and happier. And this time it stuck. You know, I had memories of being a runner before and being consistent with it. And I knew that I felt best when I was running. And of course, then I ran my first marathon in 2008, and I haven't looked back since. And that's not to say there haven't been bumps in my running journey. I've dealt with setbacks and discouragement and many runs that have just sucked, you know, like everyone does.
As well as building back from pregnancy twice.
Yeah, exactly. But I've stuck with it because part of my identity is based on being a healthy and strong person. And being a runner makes me feel both of those things. And of course, along with the benefits of being healthier physically, running helps me to manage anxiety and depression. And I really just love the way that running has allowed me to explore the world. Now I'm one of those people who hopes that I can run up to the day that I die. So I really see myself as being a runner for the rest of my life. So another thing to keep in mind when thinking about your why is that it may and probably will change over time. So it's important to reevaluate your why on a regular basis. What resonated with you 5 years ago or even a year ago may not necessarily resonate with you now.
Well, especially if the why is not sticky enough. Maybe you got into running to lose weight, but there's been a lot of, you know, a lot of experts have said that's probably not the motivation that's going to keep you in it for the long term.
Right. Or maybe you decided to get into running because someone pressured you into it, or, you know, you were trying to impress somebody. If you're not doing it for yourself, then it's probably not going to be a long-term reason. So some of the whys will be really serious and life-changing. Some will be fun and whimsical. And of course, most people have a combination of reasons, you know, the really life-changing reasons and just that they love chocolate, beer, or ice cream, you know. Here's an example from a recent email that we got from Greg Cheek, who is a longtime listener and who we've had on the podcast before, about his why. And he says, my marathon journey started with the Hamburg Marathon in 2012, and 6 years later, I finished my 12th marathon, the Route 66 Marathon in Oklahoma. I started running to beat the negative thinking in my head from stage 3 cancer. I still run for continued health, next book ideas, meditation, endorphins, business ideas, and prepping for speaking engagements. My journey to beating cancer wouldn't have happened without running, and MTA was with me every step of the way from my first half marathon and then through subsequent marathons. The special joy of walking my daughter down the aisle at her wedding probably wouldn't have happened without running. Running was that powerful in my fight against cancer. Thanks, Angie, Trevor, and the MTA family.
Wow, that is awesome. Thank you, Greg, for sharing. What an amazing testimony to the power of running.
So, like Trevor said, we kind of asked the MTA community a bit about their reasons, their why for running. And of course, we got some really fun answers. We got some more serious ones and kind of tried to break them down according to category and share just a couple examples from each category. And of course, one of the categories was love of food or drink. I can certainly relate. Kathleen says, I like eating ice cream and drinking brewpub beer.
Well, who doesn't? Wow.
Steven says, I like to drink beer year round, and he feels like running can enable him to do that.
Running and eating go together pretty well.
Yeah, in addition to people loving to eat and drink, also friends in the running community is another reason. Another Kathleen said, besides my love of food, well, it's my running friends. No matter how crappy my day can be, I know they're there to make me laugh. And Jennifer says her reasons are endorphins, girl time, and chocolate.
Yeah.
Another big motivator for people is races. Joanne says, I made a goal, run 26.2 in all 50 states by the time I turn 50, which is in 2019. Although I'm two states away from finishing my goal, I know I won't stop. It keeps my head level, it's my me time, and oh, it's a badass feeling.
So true.
Another reason people mentioned is alone time. Amanda said, I love being out in nature, having some me time with a podcast. And Lynn said, running is a huge part of who I am. I can't even conceive of a week without running. I run for fun, to enjoy being outside in every type of weather, to challenge my body, to focus my mind, and also to let my mind drift. And Stacy says, a spring race keeps me motivated, and alone time from the craziness of kids. I can relate to that one. I know when my kids were young, especially, I just needed some time out of the house where no one was saying mom or mommy or asking me any questions.
Yeah, just time to decompress.
Exactly. Another great reason is supporting charity. Pamela said, I started long distance running to support a local charity. It helped to find the right charity, the right coaches, the right races, and most importantly, the right running buddies. I went from a novice to half marathoner to marathoner and will hopefully keep adding to the distances. And some people just said their why is because they can. Rachel says, because I can. When I'm running, all of the I shoulds turn into I cans and then I dids. Jenny said, because I can and it's what keeps me going. My friends, family, and community keep me inspired. Having that support and knowing I can and that my body allows me to do this is my why. Because I couldn't always run and only started 4 years ago. I'm the sole healthy member of an immediate family struggling with morbid obesity. I also live in the second most unhealthy state in the U.S., and I see my community struggle with health. Some in my immediate family are completely immobile because of it, and I think about that when I run and feel so much gratitude for my ability, but also sadness and empathy knowing that they cannot do the same. I run for myself and my health, but also for those who can't, and hope that I might, in even the smallest way, be an inspiration to someone in a similar circumstance, whether it be in my family or community. I want to challenge the doubts of people who fear starting an active lifestyle and think running or walking is not possible. I want to help others love to live healthier, active lives.
Powerful stuff.
And a lot of people said that their why, part of their why, was to be a positive example. Ryan says, I'm a positive example for my kids to follow, and it's something that my wife and I share. Carrie says, running is my passion and purpose and allows me to connect with and inspire others. I enjoy running with friends and coaching kids. Reaching goals feels amazing. Kyle says, my two kids are my why, and he included a picture of his two cute kids. Jennifer says, my girls, my patients, my health, and because I can, and tomorrow I might not be able to. Hope says, I started running 2.5 years ago for my health. I never thought I would love to run, but I do. It helps me keep my head clear, de-stress, sleep better, maintain a healthy weight, and be a role model for my daughters. If their mama can become a runner at age 45, they can do anything they set their mind to. I ran my first marathon this year.
Yeah, that's one beautiful aspect of living a healthy, active lifestyle is just the impact that you're able to have on others just by virtue of your example.
Exactly. Often you don't even have to say anything about it, mm-hmm. but people know you're a runner and, you know that you're striving to live a healthier life. Another why people mentioned was it's a way to enjoy nature and fresh air. Sarah says, I have been looking at running as an opportunity to enjoy all seasons rather than always sitting inside waiting for spring to come and just feeling cooped up and inactive all winter. It has kicked seasonal blues in the butt so far this year. And I totally agree. It's like if I feel like I'm able to get out in the wintertime, it makes it go a lot faster for me. And I feel like it's just not so cold and dark and depressing.
Conquering the winter.
That's right. One run at a time. Suzanne says, because I love being outside, because it helps me with stress, and because I never feel better than after I finished a run.
That's true.
And Joe says, fresh air and being outside. I need my outdoor time.
It is invigorating to be outside.
And of course, a lot of people mention their why is stress relief or better headspace. Eric says, running is like medicine for me. I'm a pastor and my job is never done.
When I finish a run, I feel like I accomplished something and it helps me with the stress of life. A good long run is one of the few times in my week that my mind can just relax and enter into the pattern of footfalls, breaths, and motion. Joel said, I'm in law enforcement and running is my stress relief as well. I started running to lose weight and redirect my thoughts from stress at work. Annabelle says, because I love it and for my mental health, it makes me happy. The feeling I get after finishing a long run or race is the best.
That's right. Even if the rest of your day was not that productive, if you complete a run, it still makes it feel like it was not a wasted day.
That's right. One win for
That's
the day.
Right.
And of course, many people mention change or improving their health. Valerie says, my why is to stay healthy. I also remember how good I feel afterward.
Simon says, about 18 months ago, I was fat and unhealthy and hated what I had become. I read a book that spurred me into action and lost 30 kilograms. Then I started running and found my new passion. I did a 282-day running streak and found the MTA podcast along the way. And I have my first marathon in 7 days' time. My why is that running is my new addiction. It's better than food, better than alcohol. It's the best way to start my day.
And we'd like to congratulate Simon because he did indeed finish his first marathon strong. So that was very exciting to hear.
Hopefully he still feels the same way.
That's right.
And Scott said, I've been running for 5-ish years, and it's the whole package of clearing my head of negativity, being healthy, and sleeping better.
The complete package. You get your money's worth when you run.
That's right.
Another why is challenging myself and achieving goals. Lynn says, what keeps me going is the challenge and the accomplishments. Plus, I feel good after I've done it. May it be a half or a full or an ultra. I'm trying to see if I could do a 50-miler next year, which is definitely another challenge for me. But first, I'd like to finish my 50 states half and full by next year. Tom says, I just enjoy challenging myself, trying things I'm not sure I can do, and it's something I get to do for myself that's healthy. Andrew said, my why is the thought of something greater within myself waiting to be discovered.
Like the inner Kraken, waiting to be released, Andrew. That's what that is.
That's right.
Your inner Superman.
And another theme that was really coming up over and over is more confidence. Cecilia says, I love the process of working towards a goal that is challenging and something I chose for myself. I love how it puts structure into my daily life and how it affects me as a person. I'm so much more confident, independent, and enthusiastic than I used to be. Jennifer says, because of all my nevers that actually came true, I never thought I could get a doctorate, mountain bike race, have twins, have amazing family and friends, have a rewarding career business of my own, have a heart attack at 45 and bounce back.
Wow.
Running certain races, distances, times, and with friends is a satisfying way to keep quashing my nevers and to continue to test my limits physically, mentally, and spiritually on my feet and in my life as a whole.
It sounds like you've had a very interesting life so far, Jennifer. And that's the cool thing about running is it adds a whole nother dimension to one's life. If you need to shake things up, if you feel like your life has not been that fulfilling or interesting as it could be, you start adding in long distance running. Now you put yourself in like a really small percentile, number one, because like less than 1% of people in the world are crazy enough to run a marathon. And number two, you're going to challenge yourself and dig deep and go on adventures that you don't even expect.
That's right. Trisha says, the confidence that running gives me is my reason and my hope is to run forever. Steven says, it makes me feel like a stronger person, knowing I have the ability to win the battles with feeling tired, being cold, and being lazy. Every time you go running, that's a win. And finally, Gregory says, I can't imagine not having running in my life. My why is that it completes who I am. It helps with my fitness and stress and my ability to think more clearly. It provides me with an opportunity to be outside where every run is a different adventure. I love the struggle and the feeling of accomplishment after completing a 20-miler, and I love the running community. It's fun, quirky, and tremendously supportive. I'm 53 years old, and I've only been running for 5 years, and my largest regret is that I didn't find it earlier.
So there are some examples for you of what your fellow runners have said is their why and what keeps them going. Thank you everyone who shared. This would be a good time to thank our episode sponsor, MetPro. MetPro is a world-renowned concierge nutrition, lifestyle, and fitness coaching company. And actually, we've been working with one of their coaches for the last 3 weeks, kind of dialing in what our metabolic profiles are, which is something I've never done before. So it's been an interesting process, and I've actually seen myself lose weight So it's always cool to see numbers go down the scale.
Yeah, the thing I like about it is that I'm losing weight, I have good energy, and I'm not hungry. So we may be like the only two people losing weight over the holidays.
So basically, it's called MetPro because it comes from this idea of metabolic profiling, and it's very individualized. So it's a high level, you know, one-on-one nutrition coaching, and these people are really sharp. And it's interesting because I don't think I thought too carefully about nutrient combining and all the macros that I needed to be getting. I've never used a food scale like ever in my life.
Yeah, and the thing is that many runners and athletes in general spend lots of time training and work hard at that, but often have a hard time when it comes to nutrition. And by dialing in that nutrition and mastering that, you can take your performance to the next level and do things like lose fat and increase muscle and strength. So with the MetPro system, you're arming yourself with the tools that are required to feed yourself as an athlete for the rest of your life. So to find out more, visit metpro.co/MTA, and you can find out what it takes to get started. That's metpro.co/MTA.
And we also like to thank Bombas. Got my comfy Bombas on right now, actually.
I do too.
Thanks to 2 years of research and development and multiple improvements in design, performance, and comfort, Bombas is the most comfortable socks in the history of feet.
They have an arch support system that provides extra support where you need it most, and a cushioned footbed that's reinforced for comfort without added bulkiness. Bombas feel like a hug around your feet. They also have stay-up technology that ensures that your socks stay in place without leaving a mark, and they have super soft material that makes you never want to take them off. And I have to say, they get very high rotation in my drawer, both for running and just wearing every day.
And they're nice and breathable, too, because nothing worse than sweaty feet.
That's right. So whether you're running or doing some sort of cross training or just wearing them for hiking or on a daily basis, they're going to add added comfort to your life.
Just go to bombas.com/marathon and use the code marathon for 20% off your first order. That's Bombas, bombas.com/marathon and use the code marathon for 20% off.
So we heard a lot of great reasons from the MTA community about their why. And I've talked a little bit about my why. Trevor, have you found yours yet?
Beer and bacon, baby. No, I started marathon training because I wanted to affect change in my life, and that's part of the allure of it, because I used to hate to run. So on what level can you actually change, and how deep can that change be, and how lasting? So it was really this self-improvement quest to become a better person, and running was that catalyst to do that. And I've got to say that it is a great catalyst for bringing change in your life, not only in your health, but also in your focus and in your ability to endure hardness, in your discipline, definitely in your mental toughness. But I've been doing some reading about this concept of why. There's a great book by Simon Sinek called Start With Why. You know, it's more geared toward like businesses and organizations rather than individuals. But anyway, in the book, he argues that great companies will organize around their why, that is, why they exist, what is their purpose, what is their mission, instead of organizing around what they do or what they sell. And throughout the book, he uses Apple as an example, Apple computers. Steve Jobs had a very clear and definite why. It was all about, you know, breaking out of the status quo, about nonconformity. Maybe that's why I wear Apple Watch right now. I don't know.
It resonates with you as a rebel personality.
So lots of companies are doing this really well. Harley Davidson is another example in the book. You know, they have like this almost cult-like following. People get tattoos, Harley Davidson. But do you see people get tattoos of like Kawasaki or Yamaha on there?
I don't know.
So they're definitely relating to people on an emotional level. And he says that if you do that, if you communicate on an emotional level, it reaches the part of your brain called the limbic system. And the limbic system is responsible for instinct and mood and emotions. And we talk about something speaking to our hearts. It's that part of the brain. And that's what drives our behavior. But the limbic system is not responsible for language and reason and analytical thought. That's done in a different part of the brain, he says, the neocortex. So he says the best leaders know how to speak to the heart. They know how to speak to that limbic system. And he uses Martin Luther King as an example. His famous I Have a Dream speech did that so well. The speech is not called I Have a Plan speech, right? It's I Have a Dream. And he was able to inspire his followers because he spoke to their heart. So when it comes to inspiring yourself, when it comes to leading yourself and actually finding it within you to be a long distance runner, I think it's good to start with why, to go back to what got you into this in the first place. What do you feel in your heart? And just go back to those things when you're feeling unmotivated. And also it's helpful to think about the moments when you were the happiest during a run, because there's ups and downs. You know, I definitely know when I was not happy. And I've definitely had some tough runs and marathons, but there are some moments that I've had as a runner where I've just had this feeling of great joy. So there's three archetypal moments that I can think of when I feel the most joy when I run. These have happened many, many times. So I just say archetypal because it's this type of moment that makes me feel a lot of joy as a runner. And one of those is just bombing down a trail on a perfect day and thinking, wow, this must be what it's like to fly through the forest. This is the closest I'm going to come to it anyway. It's not just the sensation of like the wind blowing through my hair. It's feeling free and being able to do it and like connecting to nature. The second moment where I feel joy when I run is the last mile of a marathon whenever I'm feeling strong. Sometimes the last couple miles of a marathon can be like really miserable. But there's been times like when I ran the Jungfrau Marathon, the Munich Marathon, I felt this way. Myrtle Beach, I remember feeling this way, where there was just something magical about it. So I just say whenever I'm feeling strong, the last couple miles of a marathon, just especially when the music is really good, I feel a lot of joy in those moments. And the third time I can think of is the day after a marathon. This is no matter if it's tough or if it's a marathon where I ran stronger. The day after, when I can just drink in the fact that I just accomplished that, feels really good. And also because I don't have to run that day.
You feel tired, maybe a bit sore, but you also feel like you could accomplish anything.
Exactly. I love it. So yeah, think about that, folks. When do you feel the happiest as a runner? What brings you the joy? What moments? And why do you feel so happy in those moments? What's going on in your heart, like underneath on an emotional level? For me, I think I could boil it down to freedom. That's what I feel when I'm outside exploring the world. The journey, being part of something bigger than myself. I think that's what I feel at the end of a marathon. And then that awesome sense of accomplishment. So that pride of progress, I think, is that third emotional, spiritual furnace being stoked by my running. And one more point I want to talk about for a minute, and this is concept of going seven levels down. So when it comes to finding a deep reason for what you do, find your why, and then ask why about that why, and then ask why about that why until you go seven levels down to see what the deepest reason is. So it's kind of fun. I have no idea what all the kind of different answers people would give for this.
But I'm pretty sure if you go seven levels deep, there's chocolate in the center.
Let's try it.
Filled with chocolate.
So you said that you wanted to be a stronger, healthier person. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Why do you want to be a stronger, healthier person?
Because I feel like I get the most out of life when I feel strong and healthy.
Why do you want to get the most out of life?
Well, because life is amazing and time passes quickly.
That's true. I don't even know if we can go deeper than that. So that's that's like three levels. But still, we got down to life is short, you know? So at the very base, it's like you're mortal. Life is short. You only get one shot. So, and you're dead for a very long time. So make the most out of life. And running is the way in which you've chosen, and me too, to live life to its fullest.
That's right. And chocolate.
No, but I see that's a better why than just to lose weight. Living life to its fullest. Because you can do that even if you're not where you want to be on the scale. I've used this, you know, asking why about why about why about why. I've used this on myself when it comes to several different things I'm doing right now in my life. And sometimes if you do that, you will get down to like some issues with like self-confidence and self-image and a lot of deeper stuff. So you might want to do it with therapists.
We are not therapists, by the way.
This is not therapy by podcast. And that's the powerful thing is sometimes we go about life just continuing to do what we're doing, but never look at like what is driving this behavior. Like what are the fears I might have? Your aspirations might deep down be like the reverse side of a fear. Okay, we say we want to get the most out of life. Well, what's the reverse of that?
Living a meaningless life.
Exactly. Being mundane, being mediocre. Yeah, that's certainly something I feared. So the further down you go, the more interesting it gets.
The key is to find your why and to tap into that during times when you feel your motivation, maybe your inspiration running low, and just keep coming back to why you're on this journey in the first place.
That's right. And we'd love to hear from you if you want to share it with us. You can leave a comment on our blog along with the show notes to this episode. Well, now it's time for this episode's quick tip. And we're going to talk about a beloved topic for all runners, the treadmill.
Beloved or hated, maybe. But definitely now that winter temperatures are here for those of us in the Northern Hemisphere, many runners are turning to the treadmill for large or small portions of their training. And for some people, depending on where you live, cold temperatures bring hazards such as less daylight, icy roads, and roads with no shoulders due to the accumulation of snow or ice. And plus, it takes a lot more motivation and preparation to get out the door in extreme temperatures. In the past, I have made my distaste for the treadmill very clear, but I think I'm like warming up to it a little bit.
I am too. You know, it could be that in the past, we didn't have our own treadmill because we didn't have the space for it at our house. So we'd have to go run in front of people.
Right.
And you just can't be like as relaxed. I mean, I love to like listen to music full blast and shout and like clap my hands.
Yeah, the whole house can hear your music and shouting.
So that's maybe why it's more enjoyable for us now, is we have our own and we can do it in the privacy of our house.
Yeah, that's a very good insight. So we got a couple of questions about treadmill training that I thought we would tackle in this quick tip. One comes from Jim. He wants to know, are we more injury prone on treadmills than on pavement or trails? And the other question comes from Jamie, and she says, I'm curious what you recommend for runners in the off season to maintain fitness. She says, I'm a newer runner, ran my first 2 half marathons this year, and since then my distance has dwindled. I definitely enjoy fall running, but now that weather in Minnesota is starting to get colder and the days are darker, I find myself focusing more on strength training and yoga, but I don't want to completely lose my aerobic conditioning. I've committed to run my first marathon in 2019, Grandma's Marathon in Duluth, so I will start serious training again in January. How much do you recommend hitting the treadmill so it doesn't feel like I'm completely starting from scratch?
All right.
So a couple great questions there. So to answer Jim's question about safety, research has found that there is little biomechanical difference between running on a treadmill and running outdoors. In fact, there actually appears to be a higher stride frequency and less impact on the body. So you're running on a belt instead of on concrete or asphalt. So there's less impact on the body.
Oh, concrete's the worst.
Yeah, for sure. However, if you're not used to running on a treadmill, then it can be difficult at first to relax and use good running form. It can take some practice. So a couple good tips are to run in front of a mirror if your gym has mirrors or your house. So you can kind of check your running form, obviously safely. You don't want to fly off the back of it. Or you can even video yourself running on a treadmill just to kind of check your form. Just like running outdoors, you want to run tall on the treadmill and keep your steps short and quick to avoid overstriding. And unless you're not paying attention and you have an accident on the treadmill, it can actually be a safer way to train because there aren't the variables in terrain that you have to watch out for when you run outside, or vehicles for that matter. So research shows that it's actually a fairly safe way to train, especially for people who are coming back from injuries because of that softer surface. So you can use the treadmill partially or even exclusively during the winter months, whether you're in the midst of training for a race or you're trying to keep up your running base in the off season. For someone like Jamie, who's looking to keep up her fitness, it can be helpful to get into a pattern of running every other day. And you can also include that yoga and strength training that she was talking about. That's so important to not neglect those things. But if you're running every other day during the off season, you know, shorter distances, that's going to help keep a solid running base. And then you could alternate your long runs in the 6 to 10 mile range whenever you do your long runs. And that will give you the necessary fitness to jump into a marathon training plan and not feel like you have a lot of catching up to do. So shorter weekly runs and, you know, maybe a long run in the range of 6 to 10 miles on the weekend.
Yeah, I've been using it to do heart rate training. So I've got my Maffetone number, my maximum aerobic function number, and I know what setting on the treadmill that is. And then I'm seeing how I'm progressing, if I can just inch up that setting as I go. And then hopefully when I start training for the London Marathon, I'll have a nice aerobic base built.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And then once the weather becomes better and you're able to run outside again, I do recommend that you start to do at least 50% of your training on a similar surface to what your race will be on. That way your muscles, joints, tendons, ligaments are all used to the feel of that harder surface like roads. And it can also feel different to pace yourself on roads versus the treadmill. So it should be something that you practice in advance. So as soon as possible, try to get a percentage of your runs done outside. or a similar surface to what your race will be on. But in the meantime, you know, don't let the winter months hold you back from keeping your aerobic conditioning strong and hop on that treadmill with confidence. And for those who are interested, we've got some great articles about treadmill training over on our blog, and we'll include those links in the show notes. So if you want to go any deeper on it, you can head over there.
So Angie, what is your treadmill PR?
Oh man, maybe 10 miles.
Oh, mine's 14.
Well,
I'm proud of that number.
That's amazing.
Everyone needs a treadmill PR number. Reframe your attitude about the old mill. Well, that's it for this episode. Thanks again to our sponsor, Action Heat. They make the world's best heated clothing. You can save 20% off your order if you go to actionheat.com/MTA. And if you're new to the podcast, thank you so much for listening. Be sure to go and subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcast. That way you'll be notified when a new episode comes out. And we got some exciting shows planned for 2019. Looking forward to also being at a lot of races in 2019. Not sure what the year is going to bring forth. We are going to be at the London Marathon in April. That is on the calendar. And if you're going to be there, let us know. We'd love to meet up with you. You can shoot us an email through our website. We have a contact form over there. And when you're on our website, we have a free resource for you to help you combat injuries. It's a simple downloadable guide called the Runner's Toolbox, 8 Essential Items to Keep at Home, inexpensive items too, we might add, to rotate into your injury prevention to help you both prevent and combat those old runner's injuries that have a way of creeping in. So the Runner's Toolbox, check it out. You can get it when you subscribe to our newsletter. Until next time, you guys are awesome. Keep taking action in your health. Remember, you have what it takes to run a marathon and change your life. Well on my way, well on my way, well on my way. Hey, hey, now that I'm well on my way.